everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Program Midweek Edition. It's April the 19th. Today is Dine Out for Safety. It's a community outreach and fundraising event for the Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault and participating restaurants, including three of our supporters here on the Buckmaster Show, Noble Hops, Vero Amore, and Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails, will be donating 20% of their dinner proceeds to support the mission of ending sexual violence in our community. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line and welcome our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes. She is the director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. Dr. Mazes is also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, and she is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com, or follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Doing very well, and I want to begin today by talking about exercise. We all know, yes, exercise is good for people, regardless of your age, but what is the best exercise for, say, aging muscles, those of us who are getting on a bit in years?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. So, as you said, some exercise, any kind of exercise is better than no exercise. And for individuals, sometimes there are reasons we choose one thing over another. For example, we may have arthritis and do better with swimming, which is easier on the joints. Or maybe we have low back pain and bike riding is easier than hiking. But a new set of studies suggests that if we really want to help our muscles be healthy, high-intensity interval training, which is this form of exercise where we do these short bouts of activity at near maximal intensity, has this effect of increasing the mitochondria, which are the little energy-producing components of our cells, in the muscles. And so high-intensity interval training looks to be important.
And cell metabolism really does change as we age, doesn't it, Dr. Mazes?
Yes, it does. And our mitochondria age as we do, and they may not work as well. And so this intensive form, these bouts of, for example, running speedily or walking speedily or biking speedily, briefly, it could be 45 seconds or a minute, actually help to get the mitochondria to function more effectively.
Well, I love walking. That's my particular chosen exercise. So you're saying when I'm out for my evening stroll, rather than just make it entirely a stroll, to do a burst in there, as you say, it could be 45 seconds to a minute of kind of a speed walk.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And I will say that in my exercise habits, and I'm a walker and a hiker as well, I have taken to heart these studies, and I add a little burst of running into my walk. I'm not a runner, but the evidence for as little as 5 minutes of daily running being associated with prolonged life, living longer, has me getting that burst of running into my walk.
Yeah, that report, Gretchen Reynolds wrote up a piece that was in the New York Times that I found it kind of surprising that running really is almost an essential to your exercise pattern, even if it's just for, again, a short burst.
Yes. So this was research that came from the journal Progress in Cardiovascular Disease, and it was done by researchers from the Cooper Institute in Texas. And what they found was that bursts of running as little as 5 minutes a day could increase your lifespan and by as much as 3 years. So it's provocative and it's interesting, and it did look, when they looked at the various kinds of exercise, that this kind of activity, some bursts of running, was better than simply walking.
And running, of course, certain folks should use caution before you do any running, I guess, right?
Yes. Yeah. So if you have joint problems, if you have back problems, then the cost perhaps would outweigh the benefit. But for many of us, we are actually able to include a little bit of this into our day.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Mazes, she would be happy to entertain it. What about some weight training, even if it's very small weights for a few hours, not a few hours a day, but even a few minutes a day of weight training?
So weight training is also a really great exercise. Especially as we age, we tend to lose some of our muscle mass. And so anything that asks the muscles to work harder, and weight training is something that asks your muscles to work harder, can effectively build back up muscle. And there are studies that show that this is effective in people into their 90s. And so it's definitely something that could be of value to include.
Does regulating blood sugar, does that fit into the exercise picture, Dr. Mazes?
Yes, it does. So exercise is very important for helping us be more insulin sensitive. And the more sensitive our insulin is, the more able we are going to be to regulate our blood sugar and avoid getting high blood sugar or diabetes. And so exercise of all kinds has that benefit. The high intensity may be what is most effective, but walking, running, swimming, gardening, whatever it is that you find to be of value is going to have some of that benefit. And as I said when I started, some activity is going to be better than none. I know it's getting hot, but being outdoors also has a benefit for us.
Yeah, it is. It's just being outdoors seems to really enhance, doesn't it, the walking experience, rather than going to one of our local senior centers where they do have walking tracks. But it just doesn't seem the same, does it, as being outside?
Yes, so exercising in nature can be really beneficial for us. It has been shown to do things like enhance our creativity. It can boost our sense of self-esteem and our mood. Green environments, we evolved outdoors in nature, and so it seems to have this health-promoting effect. And again, even just a little bit of time each day spent outdoors can be very, very beneficial to our health.
You know, your colleague, Dr. Weil, was my guest here on the program talking about his new book, which in many ways is a wonderful book that tells us that medication is not always the best way to go. And I was thinking about exercise when it comes to perhaps improving our mental health, Dr. Mazes.
Well, there's certainly evidence of that. There's a large body of literature that shows that exercise can reduce depression. It can reduce anxiety, and all forms of exercise can have this effect for people. And exercising outside in nature in particular can be beneficial. So, you know, sometimes it's really nice to be thinking about these broader effects. We can sometimes have a negative reaction to exercise, that we say we don't have the time, we don't enjoy it. But when you think of the broad effects that exercise can have, including effects on our mood, on our creativity, on our self-esteem, on our overall sense of well-being, sometimes it really does become worth it to make the time.
And it's not really about trying to lose weight. In many cases, just exercising isn't going to lose the weight. You're going to have to look at your overall diet, correct?
Yes, I think that is true. And again, I think it's probably a too limited way to think about this. I was doing some research for a talk that I gave last year, and I came across this program called Girl Trek, which was developed by two friends. And it's really focused on African-American women. And they emphasize that it's not about reducing your weight or lowering your blood pressure, but rather spending time outside together, reducing your anxiety, increasing your energy. And they sort of have this tagline that rather than focusing on looking good, they focus on looking alive. So it really can be a very different emphasis. I'm not doing this to lose weight. I'm doing this because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel vital and healthy and vibrant and alive.
All right. We're going to take our break right here. Dr. Mays is from the Center for Integrative Medicine. Sticks around for another segment if you'd like to join in the conversation. Our number is 790-2040. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall. Plus, how is Arizona doing financially and why we should care? ASU economist Dennis Hoffman will have an update. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got worldwide live listening podcasts and pretty much 6 years worth of programs at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. On the live line is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. And the nutrition, I believe it's a pretty much an annual nutrition conference coming up at the Arizona Biltmore the first week of May. That should be a great event, Dr. Mazes.
Yes, it's a conference we're very proud of. It's our 14th year doing it, so we have a lot of expertise, and we invite any of your listeners to come and join us and learn about nutrition from leading researchers, but also from clinicians who use this in their practice, and chefs. There's always a wonderful cooking demo with Dr. Andrew Weil, and so it should be a terrific conference.
And where do people find more information if they'd like to go to the conference? Do they need to pre-register?
It's always best to pre-register because we do fill up the conference. It's not full quite yet, so there's still time to register. And people can look for nutrition and health conf.org, or they could find the conference by going to the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine's website, which is azcim.org, and there's information there, too, about the nutrition conference.
And if you'd like to call us right now, 790-2040, we were talking in the first segment about best exercise for aging muscles, and you mentioned that folks with arthritis, perhaps swimming would be best. I want to talk a little bit about arthritis, some of the strategies one can take. In many cases, osteoarthritis is an inherited problem. What can people do to kind of stem the flow of this problem?
Yeah, so osteoarthritis is the wear and tear form of arthritis, and we don't really know for sure the exact cause. We think it's multifactorial. It could be related to age, because people generally do get it as they get older, an injury to the joint at some moment. Genetics plays a role. It often runs in families. Being weak in your muscles, then the joint has to handle more of the stress on it. Being overweight. So all of these can cause gradual damage to the cartilage in the joint. And while the body is wonderful at healing, at some moment the repair processes may just be overwhelmed and people are not able to heal that and develop joint pain, sometimes swelling, sometimes stiffness, especially after they use it or when there's a change in the weather that can happen and some loss of flexibility. So it's pretty common, and the good news is, as you mentioned, exercise is one thing that actually can help, and there are many other things that we can do.
I want to talk a little bit about the strategy with some people have the arthritis in the hands. They actually get a shot. I believe it's a cortisone shot. This is somewhat still controversial, isn't it, Dr. Mazes?
Well, so cortisone shots can be very helpful for reducing inflammation, and by injecting it into the space, it's potent and it's a local effect, and so that's the good side. The bad side is that we actually think over time that these shots can actually lead to increased damage. And so while they can be very helpful in the short term, they're not usually long-term strategies. And so we think about other things that can be done, sometimes really obvious things like using heat can help increase blood flow to the joint, or a hot shower, a hot bath may relieve pain. Similarly, cold or an ice pack can reduce swelling and pain. People use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medicines like ibuprofen, sold as Advil and other medicines like that, or Aleve, naproxen sodium. There are some prescription forms as well. Those can be effective, although they can also upset people's stomachs, and when people use them long-term, they can sometimes have stomach ulcer, and that can be a problem. Interestingly enough, a month or so ago, the American College of Physicians, which is the big national group of internal medicine physicians, said that we should be using acupuncture and mind-body strategies as first-level treatments for pain, because they're essentially equally effective in terms of the research and so much lower risk of having a side effect. So acupuncture is something that people are now using for osteoarthritis.
Including myself, I will say I've been having some arthritis in the fingers. I have had two acupuncture treatments over the past 2 weeks. I'll be having another one because I realize sometimes it takes four or five at least to kind of get a full picture. And I will tell you, after the needles are removed, my hands felt very refreshed, and it carried over for a couple of days. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so that's great, and acupuncture has very low side effect. It's been studied for osteoarthritis of a number of different places, the knees, the hips. Now, I'm not aware of the fingers so much, but I wouldn't see any reason why it wouldn't work in the fingers as well. We have community acupuncture all over Tucson. It's very affordable, $10 to $15 a session. So it is something that I think is worth experimenting with. I usually tell my patients that up to 8 sessions, if they really haven't had relief, at least partial relief by session 8, it may not work for them, and they should do something different, but as you said, 1 or 2 sessions may not really be enough to get the effect. Another common thing that people do is they use a dietary supplement called glucosamine and chondroitin, so two different things, glucosamine and chondroitin, and there have been many, many studies showing this to be effective for both mild and moderate osteoarthritis. It can take some time to work, so this is not going to be like a pain medicine that you take and 20 minutes later you go, oh, I feel better. It can take up to 3 months for it to be helpful. So if you don't have any benefit at 3 months, I recommend people stop it. Sometimes when they stop it, they get more pain and they go, oh, I guess it really was working. And so then they can go back on and continue. But that's another very safe option that people can use for their osteoarthritis.
Well, I will continue to give our listeners a progress report on my acupuncture for my hands. Speaking of the hands, Ingrid would like to ask a question or make a comment. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Well, actually, I had a few things in mind, and every time, you know, the conversation continues, there's more and more and more. Well, good luck with your hands, and by the way, with
thank
hands.
You.
I noticed on myself there was like a little bulge by the top joint by the fingernail, and I wondered what it was, and it occurred to me it might be synovial fluid. So I kept rubbing it and rubbing it, and eventually it went down, although it's not a particularly smooth joint, but I think that can happen, right? And then the other things that I wanted to talk about, ask about, whatever, are increasing the strength of your abdominal muscles. And what I do is when I'm sitting on the floor without using my hands, I get up. It really keeps your tummy strong.
Okay.
And if you have to use your hands, well, use them a little bit, and then you'll get stronger and stronger, and you'll be able to get up from the floor without using your hands. And the other thing is, too, if you got stairs in your house, run up and down your stairs. You don't even have to go outside.
Okay. That's good advice, Ingrid. Thank you.
Yes, so many good suggestions there. So people can get little nodules in their hands. These are not necessarily synovial fluid. When you have inflammation and you have more fluid in the joint, it's usually hot, it may be red, it may be tender, but sometimes you get bony outgrowths on the joints from osteoarthritis. If it's on the joint closest to the tip of the finger, we call it a Heberden's node. We have names for these things. And if it's on the middle joint, we call it a Bouchard's node. Those happen in osteoarthritis. And in rheumatoid arthritis, we have yet different names for these bony nodules.
That's why it takes so many years to get to go to medical school,
yes,
because
you've
got to
memorize
all of those
yes,
names.
Yes.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with Dr. Mazes, and again, you've got the nutrition event coming up May 1st through the 3rd. A beautiful venue, one of my favorite up in Phoenix, the Arizona Biltmore. Go to the website for Center for Integrative Medicine, and I assume, Dr. Mazes, there'll be all the information folks need right there.
That's true, azcim.org, and we welcome you to join us.
And we also want to direct people to your website, victoriamazesmd.com, and you can also follow Dr. Mazes at Dr. Mazes on Twitter. Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. We'll talk to you in May. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival is coming up over the Memorial Day weekend. Ghost Town Blues Band is the headliner this year from Memphis. This is a free event. It's just a 3-hour drive over to Silver City, a very pretty part of the southwestern United States. And for more information, go to southwestnewmexico.org. The full listing, not only information about the Blues Festival, but the many things to do, the recreation opportunities, certainly hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and then there is, of course, the Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Full listing of places to stay there as well. Randy Seraglio is with us from the Center for Biological Diversity. Randy is the Southwest Conservation Advocate for the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. But Randy, I guess, you know, we're talking about Silver City. You can trace the center's roots back to Silver City.
Yes, you can. That's where we got started on issues affecting the beautiful Gila National Forest and Gila Wilderness up there.
Well, the People's Climate March is coming up, and I know you and others with the center are going to be involved with this. You don't normally think of scientists taking to the streets.
Yeah, well, there's the Science March this Saturday, the 22nd, and then the Climate March next Saturday, the 29th. And you know, these are rough times, these Trump times, when the scientists are up in arms carrying signs in the streets. It's really a shame, because to find our way through the problems that face us right now, we need more science, not less. Hmm. And the Trump administration is clearly hostile to that.
So what are the particulars with this, the People's Climate March?
The Climate March will be 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll have a lot of great speakers from the community. Representative Raul Grijalva and other political leaders will be there. We're going to gather at El Presidio Park Plaza right downtown, and we're going to march in a loop around some downtown streets there and back to the El Presidio Plaza, and there'll be music and educational materials and things that you can do right on site to make a difference with climate change.
790-2040 if you have any questions or comments for Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity. Randy's organization, the Center, and Congressman Raul Grijalva, who, by the way, will be my guest here in studio on Friday, joined together last week to actually file suit against the Trump administration, correct?
That is correct.
And what's that about?
Well, the government is required by law, by the National Environmental Policy Act, to examine the consequences of its major federal actions before those proposals are implemented. And, you know, we have a proposal on the table from Donald Trump right now to dramatically ramp up the border wall construction and the militarization of our border region with Mexico. And the government has not done any comprehensive analysis of the impacts of its border security policy in more than 15 years. It's 2001, the last time they took a look at this. And things have dramatically changed since then. The Border Patrol has doubled in size. We have 10,000 new Border Patrol agents out there running around. These days, a lot of whom have nothing to do. And we have hundreds of miles of border barriers that have been constructed, and a lot of damage has already been done.
You're saying they have nothing to do, or their role has been diminished, because it is a fact that there are fewer folks crossing the border.
Oh, yeah. Apprehensions in the border region are now at historic lows. In fact, in the Tucson sector, I believe it's about 10% of what it was 10 years ago. So by any measure, the border is far more secure now than it's ever been in our nation's history. And we have to ask ourselves a very careful question here. Does it really make sense to continue to pour tens of billions of dollars down this drain when it's really not even necessary?
What would the environmental effects be of building a wall across the entire border with Mexico?
Well, we've seen a lot of damage in the last 10 years from the border wall that was constructed 10 years ago. You know, hundreds of miles are already up. It's caused massive flooding, erosion. It's done millions of dollars of damage to border communities and public lands and public facilities along the border. And it also has created a landscape-scale blockage of normal wildlife movement. And this is particularly harmful to endangered species such as jaguar and ocelot and Mexican wolf, who really need to be able to cross back and forth over the border in order to maintain you know, their biological health.
What is the suit asking in particular, and who would it be directed? It was filed, I believe, here in Arizona, correct?
Yeah, in the district court here in Arizona. It's a federal lawsuit against the Department of Homeland Security, and it requests that they follow the law, that they very simply follow the laws that they say they have no problem following. And in this case, that means they have to take this horribly out-of-date analysis that was done in 2001 and update it. They have to do it again to look at what has been the damage in recent years, what is the damage likely to be with the Trump proposal that's on the table now, and, you know, is it really necessary? What's it going to cost? Is it even effective? I mean, these are questions that U.S. taxpayers have a right to know before these policies are implemented.
Are there some the Homeland Security, can they move forward without approval of the public?
In a very narrow sense, the Homeland Security Department has the authority to waive environmental laws with regard to constructing the border wall specifically and any related road that would run along the border or that sort of thing. And they did that 10 years ago. They waived a whole bunch of environmental laws, and we saw the result. It ended up, you know, walls were built in places that were very foolish to build a wall, and they were knocked down, they fell down, there was flooding, the roads washed out, you know, a lot of erosion. And, you know, this is one aspect of all this that is usually ignored when people talk about the cost of this boondoggle, is that in the last year of the Obama administration, the request just for the maintenance on existing border barriers was close to $300 million. So there's an annual drain on the U.S. Treasury to keep fixing this thing that constantly fails, keep propping it up, and in many places it's absolutely unnecessary.
Is there any update on the Jaguar? Have we had a second? Does the lone Jaguar now have a mate?
Well, we have, that would be good news, wouldn't it?
Yes.
We have now seen photographs of two different new jaguars in the United States in the last 6 months. And, of course, El Jefe was living in the Santa Ritas right up until about a year and a half ago. So it's pretty clear that jaguars are making a comeback here. The one in the Huachuca Mountains is a male, and it's not clear yet whether the one in the Dos Cabezas Mountains is male or female. But that one's very interesting because it was 60 miles north of the border.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these cats they're finding good territories here in the U.S., good habitat, and they will thrive here if we protect the places they need to live and their ability to cross back and forth over the border.
The Center for Biological Diversity has actually been part of this effort to reintroduce the bighorn sheep to the Santa Catalinas. How has that gone? I haven't heard much about an update on that.
Well, we had a big celebration in March. It was a great event attended by a lot of people, had binoculars and spotting scopes set up so people could look at the sheep up on the mountain. The population is doing well, and the intensive management protocol has been modified. It's time to sit back and just keep an eye on that herd and see how it goes. There won't be any more mountain lions removed for that herd anytime soon, and I think that's a great measure of success right there.
Do we know how many sheep are up there?
As of the surveys last fall, it came out with an estimate of about 66, and then 15 more were released in November, so that brought it up to 81. That was the final translocation for this population for the time being. And now, of course, there's a whole bunch of lambs being born up there, so the numbers are well over 100. You know, and it remains to be seen, you know, what the numbers next fall will be in the annual survey. You know, that's where you really start to see trends over time, and that's what matters.
This was really a success story of collaboration, and sometimes your group, the Center for Biological Diversity, gets an, people will say, well, they don't want to work with people, but you worked with a lot of people.
Well, we do, as a matter of fact.
This project specifically, lot of different organizations.
Sure, this is a great example. And we've engaged with agencies, with people who have traditionally been our opponents at times. And then there's other times when we've been confrontational. And, you know, the reason is clear. The extinction crisis that we're facing right now is an emergency. And when a species is facing extinction, that's an emergency situation. And when you go to bat for the jaguar or the ocelot, a lot of times you have to go to court to force the government to follow the law and protect those animals. It's a shame, but it's the way we have to do it.
All right, Randy Seraglio, thank you very much. From the Center for Biological Diversity, getting an update on a couple of environmental fronts here on the program. Thanks, Randy. Hope things are going well for you.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. We'll be right back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Midweek Edition, KVOI. I will be right back.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Back, it is the Buckmaster Show. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors, wants me to tell you, and I'm very happy to do so, they have these free workshops coming up Saturday morning at 10, Wedding Centerpiece Workshop. That will be very interesting. It is, of course, wedding season coming up. They'll have all sorts of great tips for you at Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. May is kind of a wedding month. I know it was for me 45 years ago in early May, Cinco de Mayo specifically, which makes Mark Sykes is with me in studio. Yeah. It makes it very easy for me to remember, at least.
And everybody's celebrating with you.
Everybody is. Yeah, they're all toasting. Yeah, it's a good celebratory day. Dr. Mark Sykes is CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute. Speaking of kind of anniversaries, the 45th is coming up.
No, it's past. Groundhog's
46.
Day.
Oh, it was Groundhog's Day, but I always get it confused because your annual celebration is in May.
No, our annual fundraising dinner is
fundraising.
This time of year. So, different deal. But
different deal, yeah.
Still celebratory, but...
And you've got one coming up.
We do. We do on the 4th of May up at El Conquistador Hilton, and a very nice place, and we've been having it there for the last few years. Our main feature speaker will be Charlie Walker,
The former astronaut.
Lives here in Tucson, Arizona, retired. And he'll be talking about his experiences as the first commercial astronaut to fly the shuttle. Funny thing about him was that he was, managing astronauts running this experiment for producing hormones up in zero gravity that are medically useful. But he couldn't communicate. They weren't allowed to communicate directly. And so, it's like a telegraph game, right? and so this became sufficiently problematic that they flew him on the shuttle to just do the experiments himself and avoid the communication issues.
So he really was the first astronaut that was not working for the government.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
That's coming up on May the 4th, and if people are interested, they could go to the Planetary Science Institute website, which is psi.edu.
Yep.
PSI is a nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. I want to talk a little bit about this discovery about... The Cassini mission, right, found something happening in a hidden ocean beneath the icy shell of one of Saturn's moons.
Yes, this is Enceladus.
And
it's not so much hidden because one of the things Cassini discovered was plumes shooting out from the surface of this object into space, plumes of water from this subsurface ocean. And so it's flown through these plumes a few times, making measurements of the composition and things like that. And one of the things they did with some very careful measurements was to determine that there was an excess of hydrogen, molecular hydrogen, that was from Enceladus, that was in that plume. And this was a clue when they ruled out all these other mechanisms that in that ocean, that there's some kind of hydrothermal activity going on between the hot core and the ocean. So it's very analogous to what we see at the bottom of our own oceans, where we see these plate spreading regions, and it's, you know, so you get heat there. And when we look at these regions in our oceans, what do we see? We see those tube worms, and we see other kinds of life that don't require light to survive. It's living off the chemistry of the environment down there. And so now this isn't saying that there's life there, but it's just one step closer to saying, hey, there's some conditions down there that is indicated by this one measurement that tells us that it's consistent with habitability.
Why would it be on this particular moon? As you know, there are, at least when it comes to me, no stupid questions.
There are
when
no.
It comes
there,
to your particular field, Mark Seitz.
No, nobody. There is no stupid question.
For
decades now, we have asked the question: does water equal life?
Right.
You know, because back in 96, you know, this popped up with the discovery of an ocean underneath the surface of Europa as mm-hmm. Galileo was flying by. It didn't see plumes, but what it saw was some disturbances in some particles and fields and magnetic fields that indicated there was some circulation going on beneath the surface from water. And and that was also the same year where Martian microfossils were discovered, which are very still controversial and ambiguous today. But the question was, my God, could life be common, you know, in the solar system and perhaps beyond? And do all you need is water, you know, because we know that there's been water on Mars in the past. And so, in other words,
does water equal life?
Does water equal life?
Right.
Now we have this moon around Saturn that is heated by the tidal interactions with Saturn, and so it's got this interior ocean. It's got a core that's warmed up from this tidal stuff, and it's been that way for billions of years. And so the question there is that, you know, because we can directly measure the water that's from the subsurface being shot out through these plumes, you know, it gives us the ability to ask some of these other questions and make some measurements we don't have an opportunity to do anywhere else. And so these measurements were made and just took us a little step closer to perhaps answering that question of does water equal life?
How many moons are there around Saturn?
A lot. most of them are small fragments.
And is this
one of the
biggest? Or
it's a few hundred kilometers in diameter. Saturn also has Titan, which is very, very Earth-like. It has oceans and islands and stuff like that, except that it's oceans of methane, and the continents are made out of water ice because they're as hard as rock, you know, out there. And that there's some evidence on Titan for water volcanism. You know, which mm-hmm. would mean that there's liquid water in its interior, and so one can ask the same question, but we can't reach that water easily because it's down in this deep environment, just like Europa. It's difficult to ask the question, water equal life at Europa, because it's in a really nasty radiation environment, and when we send our Clipper by there, and if we ever send a lander to Europa, it's not going to have too long to live to try to sample the materials.
There's a movie out about these. I think they're going to some distant planet. Ray maybe can help me with the title of the movie. I think they're all put to sleep, all the astronauts.
Oh, Passengers.
Yeah, Passengers.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because everybody's supposed to be asleep and this couple wakes up prematurely, right?
Uh-huh.
So it got me to thinking, now, we wouldn't do that on a flight to Mars, would we put people to sleep? Is Mars too close?
Yeah. We just give them decks of cards. So, you know, some video games, some movies.
What is the travel time again?
10 months. About,
so they wouldn't need to go to sleep. They could keep busy with other things.
Yeah,
but the whole thing was really fascinating. They come, you know, they suddenly wake up in this
movie.
Passenger.
I actually thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. So.
Yeah. But is that kind of what you know, I know it's science fiction. Is that what they're thinking for some of these long trips, that they would put people in this kind of suspended animation
state? If we ever get to the point where we want to go to another star,
right?
You know, then we have to figure out how to do something like that, because you know, we're finding planets at Alpha Centauri, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, which is only a few light years away,
right?
You know, but that light year, so it takes a few years for light to get from one place to the other. We can't go that fast. So we're going at a much smaller fraction. So it might take hundreds of years to get there.
So
how do you nap for that amount of time? how would you make that work?
Anyway, it was fascinating. And I thought, well, maybe they'll do that for the Mars. But no, if it's 10 months, they don't need to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the Planetary Science Institute earning a $5.5 million NASA grant for what they call a toolbox.
Yeah, what TREX. Is that? I gave the PI
like
a little
snap-on model tools,
Tyrannosaurus Rex. It stands for let's see here. I actually wrote it down here. Toolbox for Research and Exploration. You know, okay. But TREX was the important thing because it sounds sexier. The point is that we want to support future human exploration as well as science, particularly for airless bodies, where the surfaces are almost always covered with this really fine dust. Mm-hmm. And the dust kind of confuses what's underneath it, and also it can be hazardous for operations, you know, machine operations, and human health. And so we're using our brand new UVs or laboratory at PSI to study the stuff, particularly in the ultraviolet, to be able to characterize it and help reveal its characteristics and what's underneath.
More at psi.edu. Thank you, Mark.
You bet.
Coming up this afternoon at 4, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. I'll be back at noon tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.